Hebrews chapter 2. Let me reread the passages that Brother Terrence Aaron read for us this morning. I'll just reread verse number 1 because that's the verse that I'll be sharing with you our thoughts this morning. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, almost the same as the NIV, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. We must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Billy Norris, in an article that he wrote in the Gospel Guide, shares the story of a tragic event that resulted from drifting. He says that there were two young men fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. And as they were concentrated on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water that goes over the dam. When they realized that they were at this situation, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. And so their boat went over the dam. And below the dam, of course, that would be the water dashing with a strong force over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. These young men were caught in the swirling waters under the rocks, and they never came to the surface. After days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one of them. And then, two or three days later, he found the other body. There is a danger in drifting. And the danger of drifting is not just limited to the physical realm, but it's also very, very dangerous in the spiritual realm. And this is what the Hebrew writer was sharing with his listeners in his day and time. There was a great spiritual danger in their drifting. And so again, he says, we must give the more honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. And just like the young man in the story that I just shared with you, it happens without our realizing it. They had drifted to the point of danger, ready to go over the dam, and they didn't realize it. So with this lesson that I'm going to share with you this morning, I want to stimulate our careful introspection regarding the danger of drifting away from the Lord. And I think from time to time we need to be reminded of what a dangerous situation it is to drift from the Lord. I even remember Peter talking to his writers on one occasion of the need to be reminded And he said it something like this, that I know you know these things already, but I feel a need to remind you. So I feel a need then to remind us this morning of the danger of drifting away. And the question that we're asking this morning by title is, are you drifting? Let us again, all of us, from the pulpit to the back pew, make a careful introspection, look at ourselves, to make sure that we are not drifting from the Lord. As we talk about this morning, there are some things that we need to remind ourselves of about drifting. One thing about drifting is that it requires little or no effort to drift. I can just see these young men in my mind as they're sitting there casting their reels into the stream, into the water, and just sitting there waiting for a bite, waiting for that tug on the line. And so they're doing nothing virtually, but just waiting. And not realizing it, that the current, the undercurrent, has brought them to the brink of danger. So it takes little or no effort to drift. The same is true for the Christian, which is why we are told again in that first verse that we must give the more earnest heed. We need to do something to make sure that we don't drift. We must give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest we drift away. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10 that we need to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you don't do anything, if I don't do anything to make my calling and election sure, guess what? It's not going to be sure. I'm going to drift away. You're going to drift away. We're going to drift away if we don't do anything. So drifting requires little or no effort. Not only does it not require effort, but it is an unconscious process. In other words, again, like these young men, they were not aware that they were drifting. All they were doing, waiting for that tug. They were not aware that they were slowly drifting. You see, the undercurrents are often unnoticeable from the surface. The wind or the gravitational forces can move an object without your even realizing it. The same is true again in the spiritual realm. That's why, again, we need to be aware of what we're doing, and we need to make sure that we're doing the right thing so that we will not drift away. And then here's something else about drifting. You ever seen a boat drift upstream? A boat does not drift upstream. A boat does not drift against the tide. Faithfulness, then, to the Lord is like oaring upstream. In other words, we have to be, again, constantly doing something, pushing ourselves toward the Lord, because the devil is going to be trying to push us away from the Lord, and so we've got to really work at it to overcome the forces of the devil. We must constantly be adding to our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. We must continue to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse number 18. And the moment we stop growing, that's when we start going backwards and downwards and drifting away from the Lord. So we never drift upstream. It's always downstream that we drift. And then as we are drifting, something else we should notice is that the speed downstream increases. The dangers increase with the speed of the drift. When we can hear the noise of the waterfall, it's already too late. These young men, they were drifting. When they realized it, they heard the noise of the waterfall. They were there. And next thing you know, they were over. When we lose sight of land, it is more difficult to know that we are drifting. You see, the land gives us some sense of relevance to know where we are. But if when you lose sight of where you are, then you really don't know where you are, and so you're not aware that you're drifting, and you've drifted over, and you've fallen over, and you've drifted away before you even know it. As we move farther and farther from the Lord, we care less and less about what we do. You know, when we write with the Lord, it bothers us when we tell that lie. It bothers us when we talk about somebody in a derogatory way. It bothers us when we miss attending the services. It bothers us when we ignore helping someone when we could have helped someone. But as we drift away from the Lord farther and farther, soon these things don't even matter. That's what happens when you drift away. And then as one is drifting, it is dangerous to others. You see, a ship just drifting is a hazard to all other vessels on the sea. Parents who are just drifting will soon lose golden opportunities to teach their children. Christians who are just drifting will soon lose the chance to encourage one another. Many are tossed to and fro because they are drifting. Members that are drifting are a bad influence, especially to new Christians. And finally, talking about some things we ought to know about drifting. It ends in shipwreck. That's what happened tragically to these two young men in the story. A boat adrift will crash on the rocks and go over the falls. For those who drift spiritually through their own neglect, there shall be no escape from the just punishment that awaits. Look again at our base text, this time going all the way through what Brother Terrence read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Again, he says, "We, therefore, we must give," he says, "the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away." And then he goes on and says this, "For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receive a what? Just reward." And the next passage he says, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him?" You know what this passage is saying? That if we drift away, if we neglect what our spiritual responsibilities are. That in the end, if we are drifting and have drifted, we're going to go over the waterfall. There will be no escape if we neglect so great a salvation. That's why it's such a dangerous course for us to take, is to allow ourselves to drift away. So the question again arises, are we drifting? Well, Brother Branch, what are some signs? What are some signs that we can look for that would indicate that we're drifting? Well, here are some signs that I want to leave with you today that should, if you will, call our attention. Number one, if there is a diminishing desire to study God's word, that's an indicator that we're drifting. If there's a diminishing desire to study God's word, and even a diminishing desire to pray, that is an indicator that we're drifting. You see, the Bible is a unique book, a source of information not found anywhere else. You can't find what you can find in the Bible anywhere else. You see, without God's revelation, how could we truly know who we are? How could we truly know what our purpose is? How could we truly know what our destiny would be if we didn't have the Bible? So thank God for the Bible. Thank God for his word that he has revealed unto us. Thank God that we can read in the Bible, and we can read a scripture like Paul said to Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is suitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Thank God for that scripture. Thank God for the Bible that tells us again who we are, tells us what our purpose is, tells us what our destiny will be. There's no other book that you can read that can tell you that. No other book that is worth reading to base our salvation upon. Because all the other books are going to be burned up. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. When all other books have passed away, the one book that's going to be remaining is the Bible. Thank God for the Bible. So if there's a diminishing desire to study God's word, that's an indicator that we are drifting away. Oh, it's just Bible class. I'll wait till worship to come. You know. Oh, it's just Wednesday night. I'll wait till Sunday to come. I don't have to worry about that. I know what I need to do. I won't worry about studying the Bible on a daily occasion. I'll just wait till Bible class. I'll just wait till worship because, you know, the teachers, they're going to teach us. So why do I need to study God's word? You're drifting. We're drifting if we feel like that. It tells us of sin's consequences. I'm talking about the Bible. And how God saves us from those consequences. It provides direction for living happy and useful and blessed lives. Psalms 1:1-3. It is the standard which God uses to approve our lives. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto who? God. So oftentimes we want to be approved in the sight of men. But we need to be concerned about whether we are approved in the sight of God. And there's no way that we will know whether we'll be approved in the sight of God unless we study his word. So the Bible says again, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. So when there is a diminished desire to study God's word, we're drifting. I talked about prayer. Prayer is a wonderful blessing, an avenue to communicate with God. Jesus, our Redeemer, our Savior, loved the Father, and he often prayed to the Father. He's our example. He's our example in everything. Use him as our example in prayer. And then secondly, another way that you can tell whether you're drifting, when there's a diminishing desire to be with God's people. Those church folks, I don't want to be around them. If there's a diminishing desire to be with God's people, then that's an indicator that we're drifting. This includes attending again the services to worship God together. One should always have the attitude of the psalmist in Psalm 122 in verse 1. Notice what he says. He says, I was glad. I was glad when they said unto me, let who? Us. You notice he didn't say let me. He says, I want to be with the us. Let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be able to come together with your brothers and sisters to the place where we're going to worship God collectively? I know every day ought to be set aside to praise God. And in that way, we worship God even with our daily lives. But there is a set time that God wants his people to come together, and we ought to be glad to come together to worship God. So wherever we are on the first day of the week, we ought to look for the people of God so that we can get together and worship. But if there's a diminished desire to be with the people of God, that's an indicator that we are drifting away. If we no longer rejoice in the worship of God in the presence of brethren, we're drifting. Fellowship with God's people also extends beyond the worship, extends beyond the assembly. We are even told in Hebrews 3 and verse 13 that we are to edify, build up, encourage one another on a daily basis. The right kind of friendship strengthens us, while the wrong kind leads us to sin. There's a scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning at verse 9, and it says this. And I think there's a principle that we can draw from these scriptures. He says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And then he says in verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he has not another to help him up. Verse 11 says this. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? What is he talking about? He's talking about togetherness. He's talking about the fellowship. So what he's basically saying is that to have that fellowship is much better to be with one another than to be by yourself. I think of this old example, and the young folks don't know anything about this, but I'll just mention it anyway. In the old days when you had fire in the fireplace, you take one coal, and if you spread those coals out, pretty soon they're going to go out. But when you pull them together, they seem to feed off of one another. And that's the way it is about being together as Christians. We'll have a tendency to feed off of one another. But if we think we can go it alone, pretty soon we're going to die out. You know the saying, no man is an island. No man walks alone. We need one another. But if there's a diminished desire to be with God's people, it's an indicator that we are drifting. When a Christian prefers the companionship of people of the world rather than fellow Christians, he is drifting toward the rocks of spiritual destruction. No wonder the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt what? Good manners. Evil associations corrupt good manners. So when we desire to be with people of the world, not saying that all people of the world are all morally bad, but there are many people in the world that don't have God on their mind. And when you choose to be with folks that don't have God on their mind, pretty soon, you ain't going to have too much of God on your mind. I ain't going to have too much of God on my mind. So we need to be careful, brothers and sisters, of who our associates are. Do we need to be with people in the world? Yes, we need to be, because we need to be in the business of converting people. But we should not have such a close association so that they'll bring us into doing what they do that's wrong in the sight of God. So again, when a Christian prefers the companionship of people of the world rather than fellow Christians, he is drifting towards spiritual destruction. And when there is a diminishing desire to share the gospel with people who don't know the Lord, that's evidence that we are drifting. You see, we should understand and should know, as Peter says, that I know you know these things, but I want to remind you of these things. We should understand that our mission, a part of our purpose as being a child of God, is to be involved in teaching folks the gospel. Because again, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. He says, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I have commanded you to teach, so you teach them to teach. It's an ongoing process. We have been saved to help save somebody else. So if we're not interested in the salvation of somebody else, we're drifting. We're on our way to spiritual destruction. Why? Because we're not doing what the Lord says. We're not carrying out his commands. Therefore, we're almost ready to go over the waterfall. The early church, they had the desire to preach the gospel. They went everywhere, the Bible says, preaching the word. Colossians chapter 1 talks about that the gospel had been preached to every creature under heaven. They were busy. They took their mission serious. When a Christian has no longer a desire to take their message of salvation to others, he's drifting, as I've said. But we need to be like the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 14, Paul says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Then he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Are we ready to tell somebody else about the good news of the gospel? If we're not ready to do that, it's an indicator that we're drifting. Verse 16, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I've talked about the world to a degree already, but when there is an increasing thrill over things of the world, that's an indicator that we're drifting. Having more commitment to worldly things than to spiritual things says to us that we're drifting. Some folks are more concerned about sports. Some folks are more concerned about school activities. Some folks are more concerned about traditions that they carry on, family gatherings and all of those kind of things. And nothing wrong with those things within themselves. But when we put those things above what God wants us to do in the spiritual matter, we're drifting. Oh, we need to be so careful, brothers and sisters, that we do not drift away. Again, he says, we ought to give the more honest heed of the things that we've heard. An increasing enjoyment in worldly pleasures says that we're putting things of the world over things of God. Paul describes some who were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God when he wrote to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first four verses, he talked about some worldly things But then when he gets down to about verse number 4, if we drop on down to verse number 4, notice what he says. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of what? Pleasures more than lovers of God. I want to say to us, brothers and sisters, if that's our mindset, we are drifting, and we're ready to go over the cliff. We need to beware of this, because the pleasure of this world is going to pass away. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then he goes on and says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is what? Of the world. And the next passage he says, and the world passes away. The world is going over the cliff. And the lust thereof, the lust going right over with it. But he that doeth the will of the God abideth forever. Do you want to pass away, or do you want to abide forever with God? I want to abide forever with God. I know you do too. So then again, when there's an increasing enjoyment in worldly pleasures and things of the world, more than things of God, that's an indicator that we're drifting away. We need to be aware of this. If we're in this category, brothers and sisters, again, we are definitely adrift. And we're almost over the cliff. So again, the Hebrew writer said to these Hebrew Christians who were about to turn their back on Jesus Christ, says we ought to, or we must, give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. Ask yourself the question again as we close this morning. Am I drifting away from the Lord? Brothers and sisters, the danger of drifting is very real. Otherwise, the inspired writer would have never written that. Many have drifted from the Lord, and the same thing can happen to us. Sometimes people say, well, you know, it'll never happen to me. That's exactly what the devil wants us to think. That it'll never happen to me. Because if we have that mindset, that attitude, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do nothing. Or we're not going to do anything. Don't let the devil win. Don't let the devil win. Are there signs of drifting in your life? Be honest. Let us be honest with ourselves. If any of these things that I've talked about this morning find residence in our lives, I want to encourage us to get rid of them so that we can be sure of our salvation, because there's a danger of our losing it. Don't let anybody tell you you can't lose your salvation. That's a teaching of the world. God's book, the Bible, says we can drift away. For if we neglect that great salvation, there is no escape. Don't drift away, brothers and sisters. Let's keep on roaring against the tide of the devil. Let's keep on being steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. He says, and as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's be faithful children of God. Be God's will, next week I'm going to have a second part of this lesson entitled Ways to Prevent Drifting Away. We'll go into more detail. But for this morning, I want to challenge us again with the idea of looking at our spiritual selves to make sure that we are not drifting away from the Lord. Jesus' blood was shed on the cross in order that we could come home one day to live with Him. Don't allow that to slip past us. God's not going to just save us anyway. We got to do the will of God. Jesus said this in Matthew 7 and verse 21. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." If we want to go to heaven, we got to do the will of the Father. And we can't do it if we drift away. So if you're here this morning, and you're serious about obeying the Lord, about going to heaven, if you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. Hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10 and verse 32. Go down in the water of grievous baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to His church, the one that He purchased when He died on the cross. It's the church of Christ. It's not any church will do. It's the church of Christ. Become a member of that one church you can read about in the New Testament. And be faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10. And the Lord says, "I'll give you a crown of life." If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but if you're in danger of drifting away, I want to encourage you this morning to redouble, rededicate your efforts. If there's something that causes sin to be in your life, turn away from it. And if you need to confess, if you just need prayer, whatever your need is, I want to encourage you to do it. Because again, we must give the more honest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. If you need to come, while heaven waits, while mercy lingers, while we're standing, while we're singing, will you come?
Lord, have it, Jesus. All sins and grief to bear.
Will you come? Is that one that will come this morning?
Lord of privilege to carry everything to God.